Jesus. Amen.
There we go.
I didn't actually, in the interview, I didn't actually get to say thank you so much for supporting the DWCC for years now, for supporting Bob and Margo, for your faithfulness in that. It's been really tremendous. So we're in parables, in kingdom stories. And so what if I told you that the kingdom of God is like rotting fish that a woman took, and she made a sauce out of it until it had stunk, and it was so stinky and savory that it became this really, really wicked fish sauce. So I love cooking. We had a delicious meal last night at Laura and Craig's house. Thank you again. And then Mark had breakfast for us this morning, and so food, hospitality, these are dear things to us. And so one of the things that I love, I've had a history in restaurants, and I've worked at almost every spot in a restaurant, from host to server to bartender to the dish pit to the line cook, eventually to working as a sous chef in a French restaurant downtown Toronto on Queen Street. And so food is near and dear to me, and I love getting my kids involved. They're too little for really cooking at the stovetop, so I love to get them to help maybe smell what we're putting in it, you know, smell the oregano or smell the ingredients. They love cinnamon, cocoa powder, and garam masala, and pretty much that's it for smells. And so, you know, we'll make pancake batter together, we will make sauce together, and so one of the things that I love to make is pad thai. And of course, when you make a pad thai, you take the tamarind paste, and you take fish sauce, and a couple other ingredients. So I get my kids to smell the fish sauce, and inevitably they all go like, oh, and they all think that's disgusting, and they'll tell me that. But by the end of it, when we actually make the pad thai, they are like licking their plates clean. They love pad thai. My four-year-old will say, "Daddy, I love pad thai so much," and so that just brings joy to my heart. This idea of a fish sauce resonates with me. Now, it doesn't actually say anywhere in the Gospels that the kingdom of God is like fish sauce. But the reason I say that is that it's an evocative image. It kind of like repulses you a little bit. You pull back like, whoa, what is he getting at? And the parable we're going to be looking at today is in a similar way meant to be evocative, and yet sometimes we don't read it that way. And so It's going to be found in Luke 13. But before we get there, we at our DWCC weekly gathering, we have been working through the Gospel of Luke for Lent. And so just this past week, we were looking at Luke 9 and the story of the Transfiguration. And so Jesus goes up on the mountain with some friends, and there like a cloud rolls in, and he's there, and then they see Moses and Elijah on the two sides of him. And then the voice of the Father calls out, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And so later on in Luke 9, these same disciples are with Jesus, and it says that Jesus turns his face like flint toward Jerusalem. He's resolute. He's focused. He knows the mission ahead. He knows where he's going. He knows what's to come. And then right after that, a Samaritan village, they're passing through a Samaritan village, and the Samaritan village rejects Jesus. And the disciples, they're so mad about it. Like, how dare you reject Jesus? We just saw him. Like, he's legit. And so the disciples, they say, should we call down fire from heaven to destroy them? It's like a strange question, like, whoa, this doesn't really line up with Jesus. But you have these images that are fresh in their mind of Moses. Moses is this great hero of faith who, all of the work of Moses from the plagues helping the Israelites escape Egypt and Pharaoh's grasp are these big, huge, amazing stories. And then you have Elijah who, you know, has this throwdown with the prophets of Baal. And famously, you know, he's like, "You guys can't light this offering on fire. You can't do it. You can't do it." And they can't. And then he just pours water all over it. And then calls down fire from above, and the offering lights up in fire. And so there's these amazing images of that are fresh in their minds of who they just saw Jesus with, and they're like, "Do you want us to call down fire from above?" And so this is where we were last week, and we were talking about how so often we get Jesus wrong. We are looking for the big signs and the mighty wonders and the big stories and the crowds and the disciples. They constantly just miss the point of who Jesus really is. And so, you know, they want him to prove himself. And maybe if we're honest, you know, we might fall into the camp of wanting that too. We love the gut-wrenching stories that melt our hearts and speak of, like, real transformation. And so this week we're looking at a parable in Luke 13. It is Luke 13, verses 20 to 21. It's very short. It says, "And again he said, 'To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened.'" So right before this is the parable of the mustard seed, also small. And then we have the parable of the leaven, and they're just back-to-back in Luke's gospel and in Matthew's gospel, the same thing. And so if you've anybody here like to make bread, just throw your hands up, yeah. So yeah, we've got a good like 20, 25 people here who like to make bread. So modern bread making would be, you know, you mix all your ingredients, you add yeast into the ingredients, you let it rise, it rises, and then you bake it. Ancient bread making would be maybe something a little different. And this word, the Greek word here, zume, it translates to leaven or ferment. It's different than yeast, you might say. And so there's this fantastic documentary, cooking documentary, by a food historian, Michael Pollan, called Cooked. It's available on Netflix. I highly recommend it. I love food shows. So 4 parts. Goes through the history of food, fire, earth, air, water. The air episode is all about the history of bread. And they talk about the very first sourdough loaf, where likely it traces back to Egypt, and somebody had a bowl left out of just like pulverized grain which with water, which would be like a basic porridge. And it sits out, and what begins to happen is it starts to kind of rot and stink and bubble and ferment. And it starts to kind of grow in size and in shape. And this is the process of fermentation. It's actually a culture of living organisms that is breaking down the host ingredients and transforming them into something else, something more dynamic, something more delicious. And so fermentation, you see this in cheese, you see this in beer, you see this in kimchi, you see this in fish sauce. This is what's happening. Fish sauce is literally rotting fish that is fermenting and developing this dynamic flavor that is going on. There's a guy by the name of Klein Snodgrass wrote a book on parables, and he says, leaven is not the same as yeast, the small substance we use to cause leavening. In the ancient world, leaven was merely fermenting dough. Some fermented dough is kept back from baking and used to ferment the next batch. So if you've ever thought of like a sourdough starter or anybody ever done a sourdough starter here? A few, yeah, okay, good. So you guys know what I'm talking about. It's this idea that you feed it and then you just like let it sit on the countertop. And I tried this. I watched this Cook documentary and I was like so in love with the idea. I'm like, I'm gonna make sourdough. This is gonna happen. So like day one, you like mix the ingredients and then you just like you just wait and like nothing happens. And day two, there's like it grows a little bit. I think I got a slide with like 5 different. There we go. So day two, it grows a little bit. And then day three, you see a little bit more growth and you begin to feed it a little more flour and it starts to kind of bubble a little bit. And if you actually smell it, the smell is starting to get a little more sour, a little stinky. And Emily kept getting on my case because I was wasting a lot of ingredients just like feeding this thing, and there's flour all over the counter, and it was just a really messy ordeal. Emily and I are both really, really, we love to cook. Emily could cook an amazing meal in 1 pot, and I'll cook like an amazing meal in like 10 pots and like just disaster the kitchen. So this was like, I was just making a mess. And then by the time, so it starts to grow and grow, and you see by the 5th day, it's like doubled or almost tripled in size. And then what you can then do is you begin to separate it, and you can make bread with this one, and you keep this other section for the next day you feed it, and then you can separate it and make bread, and you have this dough that actually continues to be useful. You can continue to make bread. One of the things we love to do is Nate, one of the guys at the DWCC, he makes a sourdough bread for us every week for Eucharist, and he just continues to use the same fermenting leaven that he then breaks off and makes a new loaf for, and this is our symbol of Eucharist. This guy, Michael Pollan, who did this documentary, he says, if I gave you a bag of flour and a bag of water, you had nothing else to live on, you could live for a while, but then you die. But if you take the same bag of flour and the same and bake it, flour and water and bake it into bread, you could live indefinitely, like not immortal. But so what is happening that we're taking something that won't keep us alive and turning it into something that will keep us alive? One of the quotes from this documentary says, you know, but actually, flour, water, salt, which are the base ingredients of bread, and bread are almost in, like, they're nothing alike. Something is transforming these ingredients and doing something weird where all of a sudden bread is this very nutritious product. And so this idea of the leaven is something that I wanted to explore, and I was asking, well, what is the kingdom like then? What is the kingdom like? The kingdom is like leaven that a woman took and hid in 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened. And so I love this, that the woman hid it. She hid it. So the kingdom is hidden. There's something beautiful about that. It's small. It's hidden. It's mysterious. It shows up in weird ways. The kingdom is also mundane. It's unspectacular times. We're talking about bread. You know, this is like a common, ordinary element, the food staple of the ancient world. Part of the challenge of being a nonprofit like the DWCC that is relationally driven. So a lot of what we do is just, we're just a network of neighbors loving on people. It's really, really hard to tell the big story. And so fundraising campaigns, that they rise on the shoulders of the big stories of life, of people who experience grand transformation. And yet our experience of the kingdom of God is that it happens slowly. It happens quietly, hidden in mysterious ways. It kind of bubbles up, like that image of the leaven just sort of bubbling. And lastly, the kingdom slowly ferments and subverts the host culture. Something is happening with these ingredients where what we had at the beginning is vastly different than what we had at the end. And so the kingdom is doing something in the background that is transforming all of these ingredients, taking something that won't give you life into something that will give you life. We see this at Glengarry. Glengarry is a social housing complex unit. It's a series of buildings in downtown Windsor on the east side. And we have, about 3 years ago, we had Huey. He is a guy with a storied past, and he started just walking around Glengarry and loving on people there. And the city said, you know what, we love what you guys are doing. Why don't we give you an apartment for $1? And Huey can live there incarnationally. He can be a live-in peer support worker. And so the Glengarry group has grown from just Huey to then he's got Huey, and he's got Tony, and now Adrian, and so this team is developing around where they actually have a drop-in center. People can come, and there's hospitality happening, and just chat and hang out. And then one day, Bob and I took the whole group from Glengarry. I think I might have a Glengarry picture. So this is the lighthouse. Right out front the lighthouse. This is, I think, they're praying before a meal. And so this woman on the left, she on the left for you guys? Yep. Green sweater. We went to a trip to Point Pelee. And so people who live at Glengarry, they don't actually have vehicles or the ability to really get outside the city very often. So Bob and I took a couple vans and drove a group from Glengarry out to Point Pelee. And we had some conflicts on the way out. Conflict we had to deal with, some words exchanged, and it was kind of tense, and I was worried, oh, this is going to be a really volatile trip, and yet when we got there, we started walking, it was like the fresh air and the laughter, and people started to kind of bond, and about halfway through the day, Isabella, she turns and says to Bob, like, I want to get baptized, and so Bob's just like, okay, let's get baptized, and part of my job as leadership development is saying, like, whoa, Bob, there's something else going on here, because Adrian, the one on the right here, has actually been discipling Isabella. So let's get Adrian involved in this baptism. Let's have like discipleship happening where Bob is discipling Adrian, who's discipling Isabella, and this whole story is speaking of the kingdom bubbling up in Glengarry. And so this is what happened, where Adrian did not want to go in the water. I have a video of this, but I had trouble getting in the PowerPoint. Adrian almost falls trying to get out of the water. She was like, "Oh no, I ain't going in no water." So it was great to see this moment at Glengarry. So the kingdom is bubbling up. We have a Christ community there that meets. They've been doing like a discipleship lunch where they just read the word together, break some bread, have a meal. And then through our house, actually, Emily and I bought a row house. It's 120 years old and needs a lot of work. We gutted it down to the studs, sort of unintentionally. Like, we weren't intending on doing that much work. And then one thing led to another. And every time that I thought the demolition was done, Emily would say, "There's just one more thing we need to do." And so we've been extending our renovation month by month, and finally we're near the end, and so we were at the drywall phase, and we were going to pay some guys to drywall, and they just didn't show up. And so we said to Huey, "Hey, do you have anybody at Glengarry who could help us with some drywall?" And so Huey got a bunch of guys together, and they show up, and on one of the days, one of the guys shows up and he's been drinking, and Huey has a chance to kind of like bring him under his arm and walk with him through that, you know, send him home from work that day and then bring him back the next day. And then we have these two guys. One of the guys has like a tattoo of a snake on his face. And they're phenomenal. They're really talented workers. And this whole transaction went down right in our house, where like our neighbor's contractor dealt, I think, meth to our workers over our fence, and then they were like out the next day because they couldn't work. And all this is happening, and Huey has had this tremendous capacity to be a man of grace and to walk with these guys. And they come and they say, "Wow, you know what? I worked hard that whole week and I didn't use once. And that was amazing. And then I had this blender and I used." And Huey's able to walk with them and just extend the love of God to them. And so this is kind of what we're seeing in Glengarry. That I think is just phenomenal. Part of my job is leadership development at Glengarry. So I come in, and I don't come in with like I have all the answers. I come in to say, "You know what, you guys around this table have an abundance of talent, an abundance of skills, and the Spirit is definitely present at that table." And I just kind of get to pull it all up and see them go to work. So it's amazing to be part of that. I have also on the screen, it's probably hard to see, a roadmap of the DWCC. So this is kind of, for anybody who doesn't know the DWCC, this is kind of all the things we do. I'm not going to get into all of them. It would be exciting to talk about how the kingdom is bubbling up in all of them. We have everything from the barrier-free sports, which I mentioned, to kids programming, to we now recently run the downtown Windsor Farmers Market, and using that as a space to bring neighbors together is something we're really excited about. The Little Things Matter is a new program launching that'll help. It's a microgrant program, so we have a couple of big sponsors behind it, where people can help fix up, or they can fix up like the front porch of their house, or put a new fresh coat of paint, or do some landscaping, give back some pride to the downtown, because we have a lot of older real estate. And it's a microgrant program, so we'll match part of that, and we're getting some labor unions involved to help actually with the skilled labor. So that's kind of a neat new program. And then the Lighthouse Network and residence groups. One of the things I wanted to touch base with you, though, to kind of come back full circle to what we're talking about today, is what your students are going to be helping with. We're just so happy that they're coming down for another March break. And so there's been a breakfast program ongoing for many, many years through this Dougal Public School. I don't know if Bob has mentioned it in the past, but it's one of the things where we get to go in and serve a healthy meal to the kids. And it's the same kids that we then see playing in Bruce Park, who Bruce Park unfortunately lost its playground. It was deemed unsafe. And so the kids still all flock to Bruce Park, and they like climb on the shed and do all kinds of fun and wacky things. Bruce Park is getting a new park thanks to the advocacy of our residence groups this summer, and so we're super pumped about that. But it's the same kids we see from Breakfast Club at Bruce Park, and then at Healthy Kids Cooking Class. And so there's a picture coming up where we use a space to actually, we hire the woman in the middle. She is a nutritionist, and she helps come up with really, really healthy recipes and brings all the food. And then we just get to help teach the kids some really fun recipes. And just it's the same kids that we see at Breakfast Club, that we see at Bruce Park, that come to a Healthy Kids Cooking Class, that will be at the kids' sports camp that your students are running. And so we're super excited for all of the continual work of the kingdom bubbling up in all these small ways. I don't know how much time I have left, but I feel like this has been good. I don't know if I talk really fast, but the kingdom, this image of the kingdom just really excites me. If you know Bob, Bob is fast. Bob walks fast. He is a man on a mission, and he's super encouraging to work with. And I would say that our life in Sarnia was like slow. Like, we had backyard chickens, and we raised our own, we had, you know, eggs from that, and we were almost like living a rural life. And so Bob and I kind of, we worked together on how the kingdom grows in both fast ways and in slow ways. And this is kind of a picture of the kingdom, like, slowly bubbling, and this is why I love it so much. And to bring it back even more full circle, a quote from Howard Snyder, which is the course that Jamie and I took together. Howard is just a phenomenal mind that I loved being part of that course. From Community of the King, he says, "A plant and yeast, these are figures from life. The same God who hid life in the mustard seed and in the yeast spore is daily working imperceptibly by the Spirit to reconcile all things in Jesus Christ. That's how the kingdom grows. The beginnings are small and unimpressive, but growth comes and the kingdom advances and people are surprised." So thank you for your partnership with the DWCC. Thank you for supporting the bubbling up of the kingdom. And thank you for allowing me to come speak this morning. Let me close in prayer. O sovereign God, in Jesus Christ, you set your holy reign upon this earth and within your people. So let its coming be like the mustard seed that grows into greatness and like the leaven that mixes with the grain until the whole becomes greater, to the praise of the triune God who lives forever. Amen.